Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on grace versus the law was recorded at our 2010 Minneapolis Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
The Old Testament law was a ministration of death, a ministration of condemnation. The New Testament is a ministration of life and a ministration of righteousness. The Old Testament law was to be done away. The New Testament still remains. And this is talking about the difference between law and grace. You are not supposed to relate to God under a system of works. I've got to do this and this and this to get God to do that. That's the Old Testament law mentality. If that's the way you think, that you got to go to church and pay your tithes and live holy to get a prayer answered, then you're under law. You aren't understanding the grace of God. You aren't getting things by what Jesus has done for you. In verse 10, it says, "For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect." That's talking about the Old Testament law had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excels. In other words, that's just an old English way of saying that compared to the new covenant, the old covenant wasn't even good. It was good at the time. It was better than nothing. But compared to what we've got is so much better. Why would anybody go back to the law where if you do this, the wrath of God's going to come upon you? He's going to hit you with emrods and blasting and mildew and all of these things. Man, why would we want to go back to that? And yet people are fighting for this right to be condemned and hated by God. In verse 17, "For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious." This right here says it is done away. It's not going to be done away. It's already done away. The Old Testament law has ceased. Now it's still here, but it has ceased to be the way that God deals with those who accept the new covenant. Now, those who don't accept the new covenant are under the old covenant. And man, we need to get them out of that because that's not good. We need to get them under the blood and into this new covenant. The old covenant still exists. There is a wrath of God, and if people won't accept the grace of God, they will be judged by the law. But that's not what God wants. He's provided a way, but it's all through Jesus. It's the only way you can get into this new covenant is through Jesus. And it says in verse 12, it says, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face." Let me explain this in case you aren't familiar with this, that when Moses gave the law, he went up into the mountain and he spent 40 days fasting and praying. The Lord told him that the Israelites had made a golden calf and that he was going to wipe them out. Moses interceded for him and said, "God, don't wipe them out." He came down. He got mad, took the 10 commandments that were written in stone and threw them on the ground and broke them. And contrary to the show of the 10 commandments, the earth didn't open up at that time. That was a separate instance in Numbers chapter 16, and they kind of ran all this together. But he broke the tablets, and then he took the calf, ground it up into powder, put it in the water, and made the people eat, drink the gold that they had made this calf out of. He got mad and went right back up into the mountain. So for 80 days, he stayed up on this mountain in the presence of God, and God had him make some new tablets, and he wrote on them the Ten Commandments again. And when he came down from this second 40 days up there, his face was literally shining. He had been in the presence of God so much that his face had absorbed the glory of God and it was radiating it out. And the people were afraid when they saw his face shining. So Moses had to put a veil over his face because people were afraid. They ran away from him. So he put a veil over his face so that the people wouldn't be afraid looking at the glory of God. And then when he'd go in to pray and seek the Lord, he would remove the veil because he was in the presence of God. But when he was with people, he'd put this veil back over. This is what this is talking about. So it says in verse 13, "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look unto the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." I could spend an hour explaining this, but here's the long and the short of it. That veil was like the Old Testament law, and it kept us from seeing the real glory of God because we were sinners. People under the Old Covenant weren't born again. They couldn't stand the glory of God. And so all they could do was get a revelation of God through the law, and that law kept us from really being in the presence of God. In the temple, there was something that symbolized this. There was a veil that separated the place where God dwelt from the place where the priest went in and did their service. And this Holy of Holies, you could only go into one time a year, and the veil separated that. And inside the Holy of Holies is where God dwelt. And when Jesus died, that veil was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And it says in Hebrews chapter 10 that this veil was Christ's flesh. And He has now, through His death, He has taken away the veil, and there's nothing any longer blocking us. There is no longer any law that is condemning you. It has been removed, and now we have direct access unto God. We should enter boldly under the throne room of grace. And yet the average Christian, because they are still under a law mentality, do not enter into the intimate place of God, because the law separates us from that. It condemns us and makes us feel unworthy. And we believe He exists, but we don't have freedom to enter in and fellowship with Him because of the law. So this is what it's referring to. It says, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it, talking about their heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If you take all of this in context, it's talking about that you don't have these do's and don'ts and all of the restrictions. There's liberty. There's freedom is what He's talking about. Freedom from the law, not just liberty to go do what you want to do, but freedom from being compelled by all of these rules and regulations. And then it says in verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. People have taken that verse out of context for years and have said that we're just changing from glory to glory. Step by step, little by little, we're becoming more like Jesus. That's not what this is talking about. We're changing from the glory of the old covenant to the glory of the New Testament is what it's talking about. This isn't talking about incremental steps. You can make that point maybe from other passages of Scripture. But if you take all of this in context, we left the glory of the old covenant to the glory of the new covenant, and we with open face, that means the veil's gone. If you get rid of this law mentality, and if you can understand and relate to God by the new covenant, you can enter right into the very presence of God and change from the glory of the Old Testament to this glorious life of the New Testament where there's no condemnation, no consciousness of sin. Boy, these are radical statements. Radical, radical statements. Look over in Romans chapter 3. We're going through a lot of scriptures tonight, but I hope to try and convince you. In Romans chapter 3, it says in verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Now that's a radical statement. Think about this. This is saying that the law is only speaking to those who are under the law. Did you know that most Christians today think everybody's under the law? The law was given for everybody. The law wasn't even given to the Gentiles. Most of the people sitting in this room are Gentile Christians. You should have never been exposed to the law. It wasn't for the Gentiles. They had a big conference about this in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. About did all of the people that were getting converted have to convert to Judaism and start observing all of the feast? Did you know that there are Old Testament laws that the feast of the Passover is supposed to be observed forever in all of your generations? Forever. Does that mean that all of us have to observe the Passover? No, but in a sense we do through Jesus. Jesus is our Passover sacrificed for us, but we are under a different covenant. There are certain things that you are commanded to do forever. It's never supposed to change. One of the Old Testament laws is to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And yet in the New Testament, in Colossians 2, 16 and 17, it says all of these things were types and shadows of something that is to come. And it lists five things there. It says, don't let any man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Did you know most of us, those first four things, we realize that those have been fulfilled. And you don't observe the meat offerings. For instance, pork. Most of you will eat pork. Most of you eat things like shrimp and stuff like that. Did you know according to the Old Testament law, you're defiled if you do that? It's wrong. There are Old Testament laws concerning what you could drink. Most of you don't even know what those are, so I guess you aren't bound by those. And about holy days, most of you don't keep the new moon and all this. And it says of the new moons, how many of you offered a sacrifice according to what the Bible commanded you did last new moon? How many of you know when the last new moon was? Most of us, see, we realize, oh, well, I'm not under that. Well, in the same verse 16, it says, or of the Sabbath days. Most Christians will sit here and say, oh, yeah, we don't have to observe all these dietary laws. Christ redeemed us. 2 Peter chapter 4 says, if anybody says that you can't eat certain meat, it is a doctrine of the devil. Pretty strong statement. And most of us say, oh, yeah, I'm free from that. I'm free from the drink laws. I'm free from observing the feast. I'm free from offering sacrifices every new moon. Every time you have a child, you don't have to offer a blood sacrifice and pay a duty the way that they did in the Old Testament. We say that we're free from those things. But then the Sabbath, oh, we still got to keep the Sabbath. Did you know that the Sabbath isn't Sunday?
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on Grace versus the Law. This five-part series was recorded at our 2010 Minneapolis Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM241C for CD or RM241D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the third CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep gospel truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'd like to thank all of the partners of Andrew Womack Ministries for making this radio program available. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to broadcast on radio and on television. And if you aren't a partner with us, I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a partner. We spend around $1 million a month on radio and television airtime, and we give our materials away. It's not covered in just the cost of the things that we give away. If it wasn't for partners who gave over and above what it cost to put the gospel out to you, we could not continue this ministry. So if the Lord has blessed you and you would like to see other people blessed through this ministry, I'd like to encourage you to pray about it and then call us at 719-635-1111 and become a partner today.